When it comes to security in the Persian Gulf, Iran has said that no one can do that better than Iran and regional countries. The U.S., however, has been trying hard to get its allies to join it to guard shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, an effort that has been met with hardly any interest, if no interest, and in some cases, resistance. In this edition of The Debate, we will discuss why the U.S. feels that it needs countries from outside the region to come and help with security in this vital waterway, and ask our guests why almost no country is listening to the U.S. on this matter.
The Persian Gulf region has been simmering with renewed tensions since the U.S. sent more forces there and deployed an aircraft carrier and B-52 bombers a few months ago. A series of attacks on oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz, which the U.S. blamed on Iran, exacerbated the situation. Iran has time and again rejected the allegations as baseless, blaming regional insecurity entirely on Washington's military presence.
No amount of foreign military presence can prevent insecurity in this region. Security is a common global commodity. We have to accept either security for everybody or insecurity for everybody. You cannot have an island of security by your fleet in the Persian Gulf when the United States is waging an economic war against Iran.
Zarif also pointed to last month's seizure of a supertanker carrying Iranian oil in Gibraltar, which Spain said was intercepted at the U.S. request. The top diplomat noted that the detention of the oil tanker, which has now been released, was tantamount to creating insecurity. President Hassan Rouhani has also once again touched upon U.S. threats to completely halt Iran's oil exports, saying international waterways won't be safe if the Islamic Republic can't sell its crude oil. Recently, the administration of President Donald Trump has been struggling to form a naval coalition under the pretext of protecting oil tankers against what it calls Iran's threats. Most of Washington's allies, including Germany and France, have been loath to join the mission for fear of provoking an open conflict. U.S. hawks, Israel, and some of Washington's Persian Gulf allies have left no stone unturned to goad Trump into getting involved in direct military confrontation with Iran. Iranian officials have reiterated that the Islamic Republic is not seeking to enter into war with the U.S., but will not hesitate to defend itself against any aggression.
Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, we have Richard Millett. He's a journalist and political commentator who joins us from London. We also have Scott Rickert, former American intelligence linguist, who joins us from St. Petersburg in Florida. Gentlemen, welcome. Richard Millett, let me first start with you. And I'd like to ask your reaction to what one of the high-ranking IRGC commanders has said. And he has said, his name, Rear Admiral Ali Fadavi. He's a deputy commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. No one can secure the Persian Gulf other than Iran and countries of the region. So, Richard Millett, what is wrong with regional countries, including Iran, taking care of the security of the Persian Gulf region, including the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, I don't think Iran is taking care of anything, unfortunately. It's using the Straits as blackmail, saying, the Iranian government is under immense pressure, and because of pulling out of the horrific Iran deal, which is basically tantamount to saying in 10 years' time, here you go, Iran, have the nuclear bomb. That trick was finally found out. Now, because of the sanctions have been reimposed, Iran is obviously lashing out. It still has a British ship that, even though Britain, a court in Gibraltar, allowed the Iranian ship to be freed. Not only has Iran still captured a British ship, but also British citizens are now in Iranian jails, innocent British-Iranian dual citizens who went to visit their ailing parents or grandparents and were snatched at the various airport in Iran, are now languishing in prison for 10 years, going through immense mental torture, causing immense damage and upset to relatives in the United Kingdom.
Okay, I'm guessing you have a shot list of stuff that you just want to, like you did, pretty much level against Iran. Each of them would be a great program to have you on, Richard Millett. However, let's take just the one that pertains, to the question. Scott Rickert, I'm going to go with your reaction. Is Iran using the Strait of Hormuz and security overall of the Persian Gulf as blackmail against other countries, in particular the U.S.?
a strategic strait for their ports and the ports of other nations that share the Gulf and their transport of their commodities, much of it being petroleum, out of the Gulf into the international waters and to transport around the world. And certainly the United States has sent two different strike forces into this small territory of waters, and these waters have been inundated with American power for quite some time alongside the British Empire. Gratefully so, most of the European nations have basically refused to participate with the Americans in their aggressive nature in the Gulf. You've had every nation except for the United Kingdom, Bahrain, and now Australia are the only three that have agreed. And in fact, oddly enough, Greece has refused to cooperate with the Americans in the Persian Gulf, but unfortunately they have also refused to take on the Daria because of the fact that the Americans have threatened sanctions against the Greeks. These sanctions being unfortunately threatened against a NATO partner. This is kind of a precedence being set. They threatened the Greeks if they were going to help the newly flagged Iranian Adrian Daria. And interesting as well, it was originally flagged a Panamanian ship, and obviously the United States has a tremendous amount of influence on Panama, and that flag was taken away from the tanker. So this is an interesting state of affairs right now, where Iran has really shown itself to be the true power in the Persian Gulf and to show the best diplomacy in the Persian Gulf. They have endured tremendous amounts of threat by the United States Armada, and they certainly have endured a tremendous amount of threat along their borders from Afghanistan and Iraq from the United States over the last few decades. So that being said, obviously Iran has shown incredible restraint and is in the best position to provide security in the Persian Gulf as well as through the Strait of Hormuz.
So Richard Miller, why would some of these countries, in this case the majority of them, not join this U.S. push to secure, as the U.S. says, the waterways, especially the Persian Gulf? I mean, we have Britain, that's there already, and then you have Australia, well, that's a frigate by next January, and you have Bahrain. So what happened, Richard Millett?
Well, let's wait and see. Nothing has yet happened, but these countries can come in on the Americans. With the Americans, I would expect that they will eventually. So this is kind of a redundant conversation, really, because there will be full support behind the Americans. The Americans they pulled out of this deal. It was the right thing to do. It's ridiculous that these countries aren't coming on the American side, considering that the Obama sanctions relief paid over to Iran $100 billion, which the Iranian citizens never saw. But I'll tell you who did see the $100 billion were Hezbollah, were Hamas, all the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps in Syria. The utter bloodshed that this money has caused was a shame on the previous administration. But Trump's come in, swept that all away, and it won't be long before all the other countries to the side of America, because at the end of the day, they have to. America is one of the biggest funders and financiers of NATO and of military support for these countries. America has done a huge amount historically for these countries, and it would be something which is probably more a game of politics at the moment. They don't want to start, kind of be seen to be immediately going over to the American side, but bit by bit, there's no doubt that they will eventually join in. And again, it's going to be Iran. They're going to have to be another negotiation over Iran's building of a nuclear bomb. So it doesn't actually ever happen now, in 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years, because the Iranian regime cannot ever be trusted with a nuclear bomb. So this has to be stopped at all costs.
Okay, so let's talk about the one entity that does have anywhere from 200 to 400 nuclear warheads, Scott Rickard, and that is Israel. Now, Israel is potentially going to take part in this U.S.-led international mission. I mean, if you want to drop Israel in a place where Iran has been guarding this passageway and the region, you know, you could just go with that line of thought. How would that add to security in the region, knowing the way that each feels against each other?
Well, obviously, Israel is already participating. They've participated from an intelligence perspective. They certainly participate alongside the Americans. The Americans have just been denied the ability to use airspace in Iraq in this past week. Unfortunately, the Israelis have a submarine force that they've purchased from the Germans. This can be wildly dangerous, given the fact that the Israelis in their history have been extremely behind false flags and actually creating scenarios to foment war. The USS Liberty is a fantastic example of the Israelis trying to foment war upon the Egyptians and get the Americans' support by trying to sink an American ship. This can be done covertly as well as in a cooperative way with the United States in the Gulf, using obviously a submarine to cloak and dagger their attack upon any vessel that travels there and blame it on the Iranians. So there is a complete danger in having the Israelis as an ally. The Israelis have betrayed the United States in the past, and they've proven to be an independent ally that is not working in the best interest of the Americans or any other of their allies in history. They've operated with impunity, unfortunately, because of the tremendous influence they have on the British, the American, and even the Australian governments. And interestingly enough, those three countries are the three countries that are willing to patrol the Gulf as allies. So take that. You know, the Israelis have tremendous influence in those governments, those intelligence communities, as well as those military and military-industrial complex environments.
I forgot to ask you, Richard Millett, you mentioned Iran and the supertanker, and I don't know if you mentioned Grace One, which is now called Adrian Darya. Why was it released? Can you tell us that?
From Gibraltar? Well, as I understand it, because the court didn't get a correct legal request from the American government, although it does seem on the evidence that this tanker was breaking EU sanctions and taking allegedly taking this oil to President Assad, who, as we know, has been implicated along with Iran in the deaths of probably 500,000 Syrians, you know, caused utter bloodshed in Syria. And I think it was probably a diplomatic effort to release the tanker, or a legal effort, whatever you would like to look at it. But it hasn't been obviously reciprocated, as British citizens are in Iranian jails for no reason, and tankers are being impounded, British tankers. I don't see how this is a suggestion anyway that, you know, Iran is safeguarding any security or anyone's welfare, because if you look at the evidence, it's just causing absolute heartache, broken hearts, disruption and chaos throughout the region, and it's obviously, you know, affecting British families.
Okay, so you mentioned Iran having created chaos. I'd like to refer to what the U.S. President Donald Trump just said hours ago, Richard Millett, that this is in regards to how he calls them the Islamic State. We call it Daesh terrorists. You must have heard reports of how they're letting themselves known again. They're making themselves present again. The news is saying it as such. Donald Trump has gotten, they've asked Donald Trump, what are you going to do? He has said that we need to take up the fight and other countries need to step up. And he cited Russia, Pakistan, and Iran as examples of countries that either fight terrorists or should be fighting the terrorists more. That kind of goes against what you say, that Iran is causing havoc. Iran is fighting terrorists. That adds to the security of the region as a whole, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you said you're right. I mean, Iran should be fighting terrorists. You know, Iran's a great country. The Iranians are a great people. They're unfortunately subjected to a mass murdering government. So, yes, I mean, the Iranian government should be a great government. The Iranian people should be allowed to fight, join in the fight with America, with Israel. Remember, Israel and Iran were allies up until the revolution of 1979, and it was Israel that helped out Iran by bombing off Iraq, the Iraqi nuclear reactor in 1981, 1982. So Israel and Iran were allies. It would be great if Iran, America, all these countries could get together and fight, as you said, the terrorists of Daesh and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra. But unfortunately, right, the Iranian government just wants to annihilate. It's concentrating on the annihilation of Israel, really. That's what it comes down to. This Iranian government has an ideological blockage. Instead of helping its own people and fighting terrorists, it wants to murder Israelis.
Well, we're talking about security of the region, and I want to come to you, Scott Rickard. Overall, the security of the region needs to go with action. Some of the action that leads to insecurity, correct me if I'm wrong, if we're looking at hundreds of billions of dollars of weapons that have been sold to, for example, the UAE and Saudi Arabia, well, we have to mention Israel also. I mean, not only does that happen, then you have the misuse of these arms. As many reports have cited, they've been transferred by these countries to ending up in the wrong hands, like Al-Qaeda. And U.S. is mentioned as the number one country in terms of selling arms to countries in the Middle East. Iran's foreign minister says that has created a tinderbox, which adds to insecurity in the region.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I mean, obviously, the United States has been providing weapons to revolutionary forces around the world for decades. Certainly, the United States, alongside Russian mobster Semyon Mogilevich, provided a tremendous amount of arms to the Mujahideen when the Americans were fomenting war against the Russians in Afghanistan. And at the same time, the Americans did the same thing all the way up through Syria and certainly in Libya. Those weapons that were sold into the Persian Gulf that were actually shipped into Libya through Benghazi, and the weapons that were left over from that the destruction of the Gaddafi's rule, those weapons were then shipped out through Turkey into Syria, by the way, with Turkish help and American intelligence help, and bringing in guys like Mahdi El-Harati, was a 20-year veteran for the CIA who ran ground forces in Libya, also cleaned up some of the jihadis, or whatever you want to call them, that got loose and went into Mali and started messing with the French uranium mines. And then when Mahdi El-Harati was finished there, he went to Syria and worked alongside the CIA and the Americans, basically building up mercenary forces against Assad's government, and with the help, again, of the Saudis and Qatar and the UAE. Qatar finally pulled out of this mess, and then at the same time, you had the Americans continuing to supply weapons. So this is, the fantasy in which Assad is a horrible person. He was actually just successful in working alongside allies of the Iranians and the Russians to stop the Americans in their, just decades-long proxy wars using mercenaries throughout the region and North Africa.
Richard Millett, in a minute, if you can please respond. You have Iran's President Hassan Rouhani. He has said this before, and he has said it again today. World powers know that if oil is going to be sanctioned, Iranian oil, that if its attempts are going to still persist about its oil exports to be brought down to zero, the international waterways can't have the same security as before. So given that, Iran's stance is clear. How will the international community, the so-called international community, need to react when it comes to what Iran has said and made its stance clear when it comes to the waterway and Iran's oil being sanctioned down to what the U.S. wants, zero?
Well, they'll just have to find other ways to access oil, to get the oil transported to other countries. I mean, they're developing shale gas. There's other ways of getting the oil. There's other countries that the oil can be brought from. the whole point is, once there's a unity amongst all the countries, and as we started this conversation, other countries do come in on the Americas' side, which I expect that will eventually happen, then Iran really has no choice but to come to the table. And I mean, Trump has said, hasn't he, as we know, he's still open to talk to the Iranian government, and that's really the only answer. And I think the expectation is that Iran, America, UK, NATO, EU, UN, whoever, they have to get round the table and sort out what's going on in the Middle East, and have to sort out the fact that Iran shouldn't be allowed a nuclear bomb. Iran wants a nuclear bomb.
All right, I got to go. Richard Miller, I got to go to Scott Rickard. So Scott Rickard, it was just a month ago. You know, we were looking at confrontation. Maybe a war is going to erupt. But Iran's stance and its steadfastness in its holding on to its position has led to some relative calm when it comes down to the region, even though in this waterway, Persian Gulf region, even though the situation still remains tense. But it's a solid tenseness that doesn't seem to be on a breakout stage. Why do you think that is, if you agree?
Well, I think it's a couple of things, obviously. The Iranians have shown great strength alongside the Chinese and the Russians. They've absolutely shown tremendous restraint as well. And the demonstration of the advanced technology. You know, let's be clear here, shooting down the stealth reconnaissance aircraft was no insignificant fact. This was a very difficult aircraft to hit. It was being shadowed by a manned aircraft, RC-135, and it absolutely was being tested by testing territorial waters. And Iran really performed significantly well using domestically created technology. So I think that's fantastic.
Sorry about that. That's Scott Rickard, former American intelligence linguist from St. Petersburg. Thank you, Scott Rickard. And Richard Miller, thank you, journalist and political commentator from London. And that is for this edition of The Debate. Do join us next time. From Me Cover Taiwan, entire team, it's goodbye.